Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Today is episode 4 of our Roar message series that we have been continuing on throughout this month, and it's also the conclusion of this series. Now, if you're just joining us and maybe you've missed an episode or two, we've been looking at the high points of the incredible book of 1 Peter. And if you look at the way that Peter wrote that letter, he was very direct. He was trying to communicate to the people of the day and to each of us over and over again that this world is not your home. If you're a follower of Christ, we are just passing through. Our home is in heaven because you are called, you're set apart. God has called you to be different, to be holy. And today our culture roars with so many different opinions that sometimes we feel like we're kind of losing our way, almost like a fog sets in and we're like, what is everybody saying? It's hard to hear myself think and even to know what we believe. But as Christ's followers, it is absolutely imperative that we navigate this maze of ideas and information, and that we have this boldness to continue sharing the gospel in all its power with those who desperately need to know the way. And so Peter was writing to encourage those who were weathering the storm of persecution, to help them discern the truth from the lies, and to return that roar, that as the enemy roars at us, that we roar back with the truth, to know the way and not lose their way. That's what he was trying to communicate to them. So Peter's encouragement, I believe, is more relevant today than it ever has been before. And despite all the ever-changing opinions that are out there, his challenge to each of us today is to persevere with faith and with hope. Now, before we jump into the message today, I want to personally welcome each and every one of you today that are joining us for Calvary Church Online, or maybe you're here in the house and you're joining us for one of our watch services and kids church. We're so glad that you're with us today. You know, as your pastor, I want you to know that we're taking all of the necessary precautions to keep you and your family as safe as possible as you return to be a part of what God's called us to do. So just remember, if you register today, you jump online at calvary.ca, you can be with us in the house next Sunday. So spread the word. We are open, and we would love, love, love to see you. Church, it's time to begin to regather, even if it looks a little different than it did before. I think the enemy would love for us to fall out of the habit of coming together as a church family and to break those relational ties that God has always intended for our lives to bring strength to our faith. Remember, the church is not man's idea. It wasn't an advertising agency that gathered around a boardroom table to come up with the idea. It was God's plan. God's plan to bring hope to the earth, not just a building, but his people, you and I. And we've been kind of hardwired to belong to this family. And you know what? When we drift from that plan, our faith begins to weaken and our mission begins to lose focus. Now, I understand that not all of you are quite ready to return yet, and I understand. That's okay. We know that everybody has to be at peace with the timing of what that looks like. But I want to encourage you that even if you're watching regularly from home, to make Sunday an important day where you honor God, where you gather with your family, you gather with your friends. Maybe you get together your small group for a watch party and you take the time once a week to worship together, to hear the word of God and to pray together. Let's not lose touch with that plan that God has for our lives when it comes to the church and what the church is all about. Now, we miss you. I want you to know that we truly do. And it's been one of the great joys of my life to see so many of you here on a Sunday morning. More and more people are coming every week. And I'm really excited that as our fall kicks off, that as you heard last week, we've got our Calvary small group starting up again. We've got our new Alpha class. Our students are meeting again. Our kids are back in big time. It's exciting as the fall begins. But I'm also excited to announce that child dedications and water baptism is also returning in a safe way. And so if you're interested, we've actually got a water baptism. Our next water baptism is coming up next Sunday after church at 3 o'clock at Crescent Beach. And so I want to encourage you to join us there, to come and to cheer everybody on. And if you're interested in becoming baptized yourself, call the office this week. Give them your name, sign up, and we'll be in touch with you as we prepare for next Sunday. Okay, get your Bibles out, bring it up on your mobile device. Let's look at the book of 1 Peter once again. Today, the title of my message is Ready to Roar. Ready to Roar. Now, the word ready, right out of the gate, it kind of implies preparation. If you're ready for anything, it means that you've put time into preparing yourself for whatever that is. If you're getting ready for the Olympics and you're an all-star athlete, that means that you've been preparing for that event. If you're getting ready for a wedding, it means that you're preparing for the big day. You're making all those plans. But when it comes to readying ourselves and what God has called us to do, that's where the church enters all of our story. Because the church is this safe space where, regardless of what you've done, regardless of the things that you've struggled with or been ashamed of, you're always welcome and you're always forgiven. Because each of us know that we've all been in need of that fresh start, of a new chapter, of a do-over, a place that we can prepare ourselves for whatever it is that we're going to face. And I can assure you, based on the track record of 2020, we're going to face some things, whether it's a global pandemic or the murder hornets or mothpocalypse, whatever you want to step out into the world to face, we need to be prepared in our spirit. We need to be prepared to face whatever's coming our way, because God wants to bring us from a place of darkness into a place of light. And when we step into that light, we become part of his family. We're part of the people of God. Let's look at 1 Peter and go back to chapter 2. We talked about a couple weeks ago. Verse 10, Peter tells us, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God." When I come to church, I'm like, these are my people, right? I feel at home around the people of God. And then Peter goes on to say, "Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So Peter says, once you had no mercy. It's like Cobra Kai, right? No mercy for you. We've gone from Cobra Kai, no mercy, to Miyagi-Do, where we've got all the mercy we will ever need. We go from the way of the fist, the way of anger, the way of fear and frustration, to the way of the open hand, where we're serving and loving one another. That's a great deal. So what I'd like to do, in case any of you have missed any of the weeks of this series, is to give you a little kind of a snapshot as we land the plane with this series of the context of the book of 1 Peter. And so here Peter's writing this letter to a group of first century Gentile Christians during a time of extreme persecution. The weight, the pressure is on them. I'm just not talking about people saying nasty things. These were people that were being tortured. Some of them were losing their lives for the sake of the gospel. And so he's talking to people that are experiencing that level of persecution, but trying to encourage their faith that through it all, that God would see them through. They were being attacked again, tortured by an evil emperor named Nero, who, among many other things, he killed his own mom. Like, can you believe that? That's terrible. You got to be a nasty man if you killed your own mom. Now, maybe you feel like that from time to time, but that's not something you follow through on, right? That's just not cool. Love your mom, people. But we also know that he went on to kill his first wife, Octavius, and many historians believe that he likely killed his second wife as well. It just baffles me when I think what's going through her mind as she's coming down the aisle. Like, what does she think is going to be that much different from what has come before her? So this guy was evil beyond measure. He was a bad man. But he also had this insatiable lust to build. And so in the time that he was in, when the Senate wouldn't let him tear down parts of Rome and advance with his own plan, many believe that he actually torched it. He set fire to Rome. And this massive fire burned for days and days and days and then sparked up again and continued to burn. The air quality was much worse than it was even here in Vancouver a couple of weeks ago when the smoke was blocking out the sun in our city. This was not a good time. And so here in the midst of all that's taking place, Nero decides he's going to blame these first century Christians, saying that it was them who set the fire to Rome. So these already persecuted Jesus followers were now facing this new heightened crazy level of persecution under this very evil ruler. Now, fast forward to today, and depending on what part of the world that you're in, as a matter of fact, maybe some of you are watching church online today from a part of the world where persecution seems just as intense and just as extreme. Today, the persecuted church around the world values gathering together as a church so much so that they're willing to risk their lives to come together to pray, to worship, to study God's word in secret, underground. Nothing will stop them from continuing to gather. Now, here in Canada, it may not seem as extreme as the stories we hear from around the world. But make no mistake, it is alive and well, especially in a day when that cancel culture is so real around us, where truth is trying to be extinguished, is trying to be stretched and warped and molded into someone else's version of what they feel it should be. You know, I think that today, if you look around the world, if you read what's taking place, many would agree that as far as persecutions on the Christian church, it's never been as bad as it is today in the history of the world. There have been many articles written to talk about this last decade and how extreme it's been for the church. And you know what? As a church, we cannot and we should not turn a blind eye to it. That's why I'm so thankful for great leaders like Mark Batten, who's the Canadian director of the International Christian Response. It's organizations like this that need our prayers and our support as they set as a mandate to resource and strengthen the persecuted church. So Jesus, you know, in this time when Jesus walked among the people, he promised a lot of things to a lot of people, but he never promised that we wouldn't experience persecution. That's why I believe he created the church. He created the church to be ready to roar with love while walking through together whatever it is that we will face. Peter talked a great deal about these realities in this book. And in chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you." See, he's talking to people who were hurting. And he's telling them, listen, don't be shocked by what's happening to you. And for us today, he would say, don't be alarmed by the train wreck of 2020. Don't be alarmed by all the things that you hear. Don't be surprised when people push back, when you align yourself with truth and you live a holy life. You see, when you boldly live for Jesus, you will face opposition. If you are set apart and standing for truth, don't be shocked when you're criticized. Don't be shocked when you're ridiculed or when you face spiritual opposition. Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't know that I've ever had a time in my life where I felt that persecuted for my faith. Okay, fair enough. Maybe that's true. But I think that's a great place to start a new conversation. It's a great place to begin and to ask yourself, why is that? You see, do people know about your faith? I've had people say to me before, you know, my faith is a private thing. It's something I like to keep to myself. I don't want to impose it on other people. Well, listen, I understand that we need to be respectful in how we communicate the hope that's within us. But there's nowhere in your Bible that says that your faith is a private thing. As a matter of fact, it's the complete opposite. It is something that we need to boldly proclaim because people are dying without the power of God. And we need to tell them. Why would we hold that back? You know, this year, our mighty Canucks made a valiant run in the playoffs against the Vegas Knights. And they lasted, I think, as long as they did, kind of forcing a game seven in large part because of a backup goalie, which nobody saw coming. This guy named Thatcher Demko, his name wasn't really well known among fans, and it wasn't a name that Vegas was concerned about, especially while this gifted goalie sat on the bench. But when our primary goalie went offline and they gave Demko the nod and said, "You're in," something incredible happened. He rose to the occasion. It was an unbelievable performance when he stepped in. As a matter of fact, as you were watching the game, if any of you saw it, at times it looked like he was a one-man team holding off the opposing enemy, right? Like there was a nonstop power play going on and there wasn't even a power play going on. And yet somehow he kept stopping that puck. It was unbelievable to watch. He went from on the bench to on fire. And he really began to fuel our hopes that this could be our year, even if those hopes in this case was short-lived. At the end of the game, in the post-game interviews, many of the Vegas players were complimenting him on his performance. And they were concerned. They were saying, you know what, there was times when we thought maybe this was the end of our run because of this guy who we didn't really even know until today. You know, the same is true when it comes to spiritual things. If you're on the Jesus team and you believe in Christ, but maybe you're on the bench, maybe you're wearing the jersey and you look the part, but you're not in the game. Maybe you came to church very regularly pre-COVID days. And then you started to watch online and you enjoyed it, but then maybe your weekends got busy and you're not watching online quite as much as you used to, and you find yourself losing your connection with your church family, with this group that God has called you to see that your faith would continue to grow. So you show up to a game every now and then, but you're not engaged like you used to. You're not praying maybe for miracles or encouraging and serving people like you used to. You're not there to care for people or to serve on a team like you used to serve. And you miss that. We all miss that. But we can't allow ourselves to get lulled into a place of ineffectiveness. We can't sit on that bench just waiting for a day when it all goes back to the way it was. You see, the world changed. The world changed in the last 6 months, and we found ourselves, many of us, sitting on that bench with our gift in our hand. Nobody started 2020 with this plan. We didn't say, "This is the year, man, we are going to shut everything down. We're just going to grind everything to a halt." No, nobody saw this coming. But listen, I have some incredibly good news for you. The Holy Spirit of God is inviting you back into the game, despite whatever it is we're facing. And when you step out in faith again, and you begin to invite your friends and your family and your neighbors to church online or church in person, you begin to share the power of the gospel, you begin to tell people your story, suddenly that roar wells up within you and you are speaking the truth without even realizing it. And suddenly, you override the enemy's plan to pull you away, and you realign yourself with your purpose again. You have gifts, you have talents, you have a calling, and you were not designed to sit on the bench. God didn't put those gifts in you to sit in an idle position. You were created with great purpose to get out there and serve one another according to that call that's upon your life. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well. Listen, use them well to serve one another. Use them with purpose. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Then do it. Do it with all your strength and energy as God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. The world has never needed the church more than it does right now. God Almighty has created you with purpose, and he has saved you for this day that we are in. In Christ, we are ready to roar. Let those words, maybe in your own personal feelings, your emotions, maybe you don't feel like roaring at all. Maybe you just feel like turning over and putting a pillow in your head and going back to sleep. But in Jesus' name, the Spirit of God is stirring you up again to allow that roar to rise up within you, to allow the truth to come. But what about my worries, Pastor Steve? What about the people and the things that I care about? How do I survive all of those concerns when I'm also trying to listen to his voice above the roar of all the opinions and the persecution that maybe I face in my life, that I face at work, that I face in my family? It may not be what's happening in the underground church, but for me, it's real, and it's not easy. What does Peter say? Chapter 5, verse 7 to 11, he says, give all of your worries and cares to God because he cares for you. He cares about you so much, he wants to take your cares. So give those worries to him. Then Peter says, stay alert. Stay alert. Be attentive. Don't be lulled to sleep. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil, because he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm. Lock your feet in the ground. Stand firm, the Bible says, against him. And be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world, Peter's talking about the church, is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Listen. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, and listen to me, this will pass. Whatever you're dealing with right now, I'm not just talking about what's going on in the world. Some of you emotionally are struggling deeply. Nobody knows. Nobody knows but you and God. But I want you to know today in Jesus' name that this too shall pass, that light is coming into the darkness. And then Peter says this. I want you to take a hold of this. Write it down. Stick it on the mirror in your bathroom if you have to. He will restore you. He will support you. He will strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation so that when the world rocks, and it will shake. When everything around you shakes, he will place you on a firm foundation. And then Peter says, all power to him forever. Amen. I think he just kind of preached himself into a happy place and needed to stop for a little bit of worship on his own because he realized the power in those words. You know, in the Chronicles of Narnia series, the only character to appear in all seven books of that series is a talking lion named Aslan. And in this series, C.S. Lewis, the author, he portrays this majestic lion, equal parts loving and gentle and powerful, an incredible picture. And he refers to this lion, lion with a capital L, as the king above all high kings in Narnia. He used this character to parallel Jesus Christ, the great lion of the tribe of Judah. I love this picture in this series. A lion whose deafening roar quickly reveals the counterfeit roar of our enemy and renders him useless. Have you ever been to a zoo? You ever gone to a place where there's a lion in captivity? Most of the time when you go, especially if it's in the summer, they're just sitting around. You go to the Disney Animal Kingdom, we've been there before, and you go on this little Jeep and it takes you around. And you see these incredible, majestic beasts up on the rock, just kind of sleeping in the sun. But I'll tell you what, when one of those lions opens its mouth and roars, you can feel it shake everything on the inside of you. When the King of Kings, the King above all other kings, when he roars, he extinguishes the roar of our enemy who's trying to intimidate and create fear in our lives. You see, C.S. Lewis understood that the greatest persecution that we will ever face within the church or within our lives is not from an external source, but the spiritual forces that are within our lives. He was quoted as saying, "To defeat the darkness out there, we must defeat the darkness in yourself." So when the roar of opinion begins to overwhelm you and overtake you, allow the roar of the King of Kings to rise up within you to defeat the darkness, so that in Christ, you and I, we are ready to roar. Father, I thank you today for the Word of God. I thank you for the book of 1 Peter and for the challenge it gives each and every one of us to recognize that we are not of this world, that we are citizens of heaven and of your kingdom, but that while we are here, we are to proclaim with the roar and the strength of the truth, the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Today, I pray that the roar of the King of Kings would shake you on the inside out, that the roar would signal the regathering of the church, and that we would regather, God, with a faith that we've never had before, that we would overcome fear. We are so thankful that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. May that roar be the rallying cry of the church to return, to begin to gather again, to be able to see our world, our country, our city touched in Jesus' name. And for all of you watching today, for all of you gathered here in the church, in all of our services, today, if you say, "Pastor Steve, I don't have a relationship with the King that you're talking about, but I need it. I'm hopeless. I find myself in the same problems over and over again. I need the power of God to bring change to my life." If that's you today, this could be your day. While many people will look back on this year as a year they would like to forever forget, you can look back and say that in the worst year I've ever experienced, I had the best day of my life when I decided to follow Jesus. If that's you today, if you feel your heart beating out of your chest and you want to make that commitment, if you're online, click on that virtual hand and let us know that today you want to receive Jesus. If you're here in the house today, you can pray this prayer with me, this very simple, heartfelt prayer. "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Help me to roar with the truth of the kingdom and to overtake the fear that tries to pull me down. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." Amen. I want to congratulate you for those of you that prayed that prayer for the first time today. It is one of the greatest honors of my life to be able to lead people to Jesus. And in Jesus' name, you may wake up in the morning, you don't feel like roaring, you just feel like yawning. Today, in Jesus' name, you're going to roar. You're going to roar with the power of God within your life. And don't forget, God has called you to be a part of a church that can stand with you, that can strengthen the walk that you're on. And as a church, we're here to do that, to stand with you. Join us next Sunday as we celebrate with those that are being baptized. I pray you'd have an amazing, amazing week. God's best to every one of you.